Yo.
Y
¿Qué
aquí.
gurú?
Señor.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Testing. No questions came in this week.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm glad I made it though. I forgot like it doesn't work on my girlfriend's computer, so I had to go home and get my I had to go out way out of my way.
Looks like Son Mati is here, new. So, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Namaste. Namaste.
Jagu. Andrew, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Been good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, definitely.
The question is about destiny. I kind of get it. Destiny is spontaneous action. Whatever spontaneous action happens is you can call it destiny or whatever. I don't know. That's how I feel sometimes.
And I would say destiny for whom? Within the bubble of illusion, sure, the concept of destiny can be related
Yes.
because you have an object in space and time that you can measure and say this is happening and these things are occurring and all that. But destiny for whom? Because you're not body.
Yes.
So when you remove the concept of body, then the concept of destiny also is not really. You could say that the destiny is whatever this body's going to go through, this body's going to go through. But even that is not quite correct because it's nothing that is just like in dream, just a dream world is created, populated, and people are moving about, but it's spontaneous. When we give it over to mind and thought and we say, oh, okay, this is happening, and we're identified with a body form where we can say, okay, this is the timeline, these are the things that are occurring, and I can look back and say, oh, but even that, you can see that in the moment you made various decisions, which then kind of brought you on this path. Of course, decisions can only be made in the bubble of illusion, but there was the appearance of making a decision. Because you were identified with a body form going through experience. When you know yourself in a real sense, that's it. That's why it's always good just to remain with the sense of presence, just I, and slowly release that sense of presence, and there you are. Because even presence is an experience at that point. And then you just kind of release, be, and how do you release? By continuously, Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remaining with the I am. Ramakant Maharaj says, selfless self, the just I feeling. And that black hole of your own self. And then even the presence is released. There's no experience of even that very, very subtle layer on which all layers appear.
The identification, can it be said, the identification and believing to be this unit or forgetting myself, all are synonyms? Can I say that way?
The identification and forgetting yourself, because you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. If you identify
yeah.
with the body, then you identify with the flow of thoughts as these are my thoughts about my experience, about my life. As you remain with your selfless self, this illusory layer will no longer be so thick because your attention won't be sitting there and really heavily into it. So you know, just this subtle, subtle feeling, just I. You could say you start to identify with the sense of presence as yourself rather than the body form. And then you go about your job, your duties and all of that, but sort of this knowingness that I am this sense of presence, I'm not the body form. I can sense the presence because there's a body form available. And then even this, oh, presence is known. Whether presence is there or not, I am, because I am the knower of this. Whether this I exist or I am is there or not. And you can release attention on even the sense of existence. And when I say you, the you that you are, when this attention is released, there's nothing. There's just selfless self, Parabrahman, whatever you want to call it, just your own self. Where all experience ends, there you are.
And it just occurred to me that I can't really know that myself is not present. All I can know just may be just myself, and that's all that is.
Well, this is where the knock knock on the door. Who's there? Nobody's there. But somebody had to be there to say nobody's there. The sense of existence appeared to that you are, but you had to be there for the sense of existence to be able to appear to you. It's direct recognition. There cannot be a not you, if that makes sense. I mean, if there's a not you, then like you are. There's no time when you are not.
And that's the subtle sense, right?
Well, that's the one who senses the sense of presence or the subtle sense. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says the I am is the door. On one side of this door is the world and all the experiences and all that. On the other side of this door is your own self. And I am is like the first experience, the first, oh, this subtle I exist and see a world. And then get lost in the world very quickly. Because as Maharaj says, whatever is impressed on spirit, it's reflected. So it's like, oh, we talk about the space in the room. The space in the room suddenly clicks with this body and is seeing out of these eyes objects within its own self, but forgets it's the space. And it's not, we say forget only because we have to use some words. But there was no knowing. You're space. Now suddenly you're seeing through a body form inside of your own self, but you didn't know yourself prior to this experience, I guess you could call, of seeing and knowing. Yet you are.
But actually, the seeing is within yourself. It's not like you're seeing yourself out there. Right?
Well, again, you could say if the space was able to see through the eyes and not identify with the body, just the seeing. And that's why the formless presence, so to speak, you could say is providing the faculty of seeing from this body form. And then there's this limited identification with a something within the nothing. Again, we lay down to sleep at night and dream. You identify almost immediately with the dream character because this is how you're, the impression is, oh, I'm dreaming. These are people. We're at a lake or we're at a mall or we're somewhere and we're populating it and all the people are speaking and talking and all this sort of thing. But it's all you. You don't know that until after you wake up. And then you say, oh, it was just a dream. And when you know yourself in a real sense, this quote, waking dream, you say, oh, it's just a dream. And you don't have to say that because it's a knowing. You are self-evident. And that's when Maharaj says the ash is covering the fire for a time, which is not even true, but there's ash. And you remove the ash, fire is burning brightly. Whether ash is there or not, fire is burning brightly. And that's that direct, you're self-evident. Just as the sun. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so the ash covering is a thinking activity.
Correct, illusory layers, yes. Because of identification with the body, there are illusory layers which we identify with my thoughts.
Yeah, so identification with the unit is also a part of thinking.
Yes, you can't think if you had no body form. Because in order to do that, you're creating the concept of a thinker of I am thinking. The sense of existence in a body form identified with the flow of thoughts creates the concept of a thinker thinking thoughts.
So the thoughts spontaneously rise and falls.
These thoughts are just a layer on your presence.
Yeah.
And as Maharaj says, you would pick which thought to use, which thought not to use about your daily activity. It says, oh, I'm hungry. Okay, this is a thought. You say, and then you put into action, I would like some food. But thoughts of, oh, this is not going well, or oh, I'm not doing well, or these sort of personal identification with the thought, that's what we call like jumping into the river. And now you're swept away in the thought. Rather than standing on the river bank and just letting the river flow, because you're on the bank, you're totally outside of the thinking process. But going one step further, and Maharaj always cuts this with, prior to beingness, there was no mind. Mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. So the mind cannot produce any thoughts about you. That's why we say the formless you has no thought, because the mind came along with the body. The body can only think thoughts about the form-based existence because that's all it can project. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
You're prior to mind.
Yes. So body, mind, both comes into existence simultaneously.
We say spontaneously, but yes. I mean, you can, because as soon as you identify with the body as your own self, then there's this concept of I'm thinking, my thoughts. If you know you're not a body, then even the concept of thinking is removed because you could then say, okay, this world is a thought. Because you're no longer identified with a body form, you're no longer thinking thoughts are confined to your quote, your head. You know, oh, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, I'm lost in thought. No, because if you know yourself in a real sense, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body, then the world, because there's no nothing to contain, so the world then becomes thought, I guess you could say. And you're an object, which is a thought within your own self.
Yeah.
In the same way, a dream consciousness, you say this formless consciousness creates a dream world, you identify with a dream character within it. But all of that is thought. Even though you're identified with one of the characters as this is me, all of it is your own self. It's arising and falling within you. Forms are being created and dissolved within your own self. Nothing is true. When you wake up, you know this. And there's no difference between waking consciousness and dream consciousness.
It's all relational,
Concept, I am awake or I am asleep. But that you are has no sleeping, has no waking. These are states that appear on your spontaneous presence. And that's why in dream you see how quickly this formlessness identifies with a body form and assumes the role of a body. And this is why Maharaj says, because of long association with the body, meditation is crucial. Okay. Oh, what's this? After some time of mantra, there's like a the layers of illusion get less and less and less. As he says, slowly, silently, permanently. Oh, so that I am that. And so then for a time, because the sense of presence is felt, you identify with the sense of presence and go about your daily activities. And for a time, presence is important. And then even this is renounced because it's not even renounced. It's like by remaining with the sense of presence, again, that black hole, it releases the sense of presence on its own, on your own, your. And that's the best way is where all experience ends. There you are. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. When this body is no longer available, it means nothing. Even the sense of existence. Because when you hold on to this sense of existence, this I am, this just I, and I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says the stranglehold on the beingness, you release the stranglehold on the beingness, and just the fact that the sense of existence, the I am, can be released, you know, oh, I am not even this. This also is a layer on my presence. That's why they say that this I am. Sense of existence is the primary illusion. The Big Bang, so to speak. Suddenly I know myself. Mom and dad tell me I'm this body. when I have this knowingness of my own self as something separate, because here's mom, here's dad, they label this body, and I now attach to the form with a name, and I begin taking on the concept of doership and adding positives and negatives, where the desire and fear starts to come about because of identification with the body form as myself, rather than knowing that all of this is just a play of existence within my own self.
So I am is the first manifestation.
It's the first knowing, because the knowingness, I exist.
Yeah.
The stirring, oh, I exist. And that's why, whether the sense of existence is there or not, you are.
Yeah.
Is that the same as the stirring you said? Is that the same as when Ramakant calls it click? Clicks with the
spirit, clicks with the body, and you say, I, yes. Of course, as a little tiny baby, you don't say I, but that's the concept of spirit clicks with the body. Oh, I exist. There's an existence. And then existing as something separate comes a little bit later, after there's recognition of others. And then, of course, the label, the sense of doership. I do good things, I do bad things.
That's where the five elements come into.
Well, again, now we're getting a little, just as in your dream, you could say, and this is how Dasbo describes it, about, you know, fire and water and then earth and all the elements getting together and all this sort of thing. But it's the same as in a dream. In a dream, you have five elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simply because this is the concept, the building blocks.
That's weird.
So in a dream, though, you don't sit there and say, okay, I'm going to have a dream tonight. First, we're going to have wind. And within the wind, there's going to be friction, and it's going to do fire. And then fire is going to have water, and then water is going to have solid. And no, it's just spontaneous. Whenever Das Bodh is describing like the elements, the five elemental body and such, it's to let you know that you are none of these five elements. Just yeah, like you're none of the gunas.
But it all appears at once, the five elements and the
within the bubble of illusion, but you're outside of that.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're able to release the concept I exist, or you're able to, I don't want to say release because it's a spontaneous action. You just, because you're sitting there knowing this presence, remaining with this sense of presence, and it sort of just goes, and you're there. And that presence is no longer like it's like you take off the sunglasses, because there's no layer now. There's just your own self. And this is where we talk about the scenes appear and disappear before you. And there's involvement seeming, you know, do your job, do your duties, you go to the grocery store, go to movies, go and do all these things, but there's not a, you're not creating this timeline or trying to hold on to a concept of being alive, living a life.
So it does change your actions and your desires when you wake up, doesn't it?
It doesn't change, because you're currently in this, you understand. You're currently formless, and all this activity is
attachment,
going on within
the attachment changes, disappears.
You no longer identified with a body form, therefore you're no longer believing that this body form in this world is your own self.
So wouldn't that sort of change, or at least it loosens up this, like you said, the
but
layers.
There's no you there. See, we're trying to talk about this as from a body-based perspective of, oh, but now I live more freely or whatever. But
yeah,
no.
Right. It's from that perspective. Yeah.
You are there. You are that. All of this was illusion. As illusion is, it's just like, okay, if we talk about there's a mirage or a river out in the desert, it's actually a mirage, but we all sit on the shore And we come up with various ways to get across this river because it appears very true. And we're like, oh, you know, we could drown, we lose some people. Some people are not going to be strong swimmers, this and that. And we sit and we plot and we plan on how to cross this river. But it's a mirage. So when you actually get to the river, all this plotting and planning is seen as it was not needed. This was activity in the time, but now it's just, oh, there is no river.
Well, but the river of the mirage and the river, a real, if there was what from the perspective of itself, there's a real river, there it's all five elements, just
Well, again, they describe the five elements because, like Siddharameshwara Maharaj talks about a master of self-realization, finding this I, you say, oh, okay, this body, this must be the I. But then, okay, no, if I chop off this arm, am I any less? You know, and then it goes through the great causal body and the all through, let's try to find this I. It's not able to be found. But in doing that, we have to say, oh, okay, there's a five elemental world. This is a five elemental body. And you're not any of the five elements. And then with this five elemental body, the movement comes from the gunas, the sattva, the tamas, and the rajas. All these are the gunas that are operating this body, but you're not body. So you see, it's like unraveling because we have these concepts, we have these body-based concepts. It's needed to try and describe that you're not that. But
So
again, the best answer to every question is your own self. You sit with yourself. No question arises. And the more you make friends with your selfless self, the deeper and deeper and deeper you go within your selfless self.
only conceptual and sense experience is from the perspective, and it has like a its own perspective on things that doesn't really exist or something.
Well, every experience is within the bubble of illusion or consciousness, whatever you want to call it.
It seems to have its own perspective.
Only within the bubble of illusion. And again, we use dream. In dream, there can be story, and there can be you could easily explain things going on inside the dream. Even you could dream about having a spiritual journey and going to a guru and doing, you know, Siva service for the guru and listening to lectures because you've read books. So within the dream, you can incorporate that you're getting instruction from this guru. Then you wake up and you understand there was no journey, there was no, all of it seems so real. And when you know yourself in a real sense, this what we call world just couldn't have anything to do with you. And this is nothing more than sort of a telescope to see within yourself for a time. And even that's not quite true. Because again, the dream character is seeing inside the dream, interacting inside the dream, the body is being moved inside the dream, and yet nothing's happening. The body you believe yourself to be is laying down sleeping. And this whole world and all these experiences are occurring within the formlessness. And when you wake up, then the formlessness is finished. But not in really, because only the concept I'm dreaming has finished. The you that you are, there's no sleeping, no consciousness, no unconsciousness, no nothing.
So I am that is a knowing, is a verb.
I am that. That we say is just that I am, that sense of existence, this subtle, subtle, subtle sense of presence.
Yes.
And that you are knows this. But it comes spontaneously. Spirit click with the body, you say I. So the sense of existence immediately, just like a dream at night, you're sleeping. And you could say there's deep sleep, so there's no knowing of anything, there's no nothing, but you're still there, obviously.
Yes. So that is the knowing. That is why in the waking state I say I was there, I was still present there.
Yes.
Knowing.
In,
so I
in,
can say it is a knowing, the activity of knowing.
In the deep sleep, there's no knowing of anything. The sense of existence mixes. Boom, immediately consciousness is creating, and it creates a dream world, populates it, puts a dream character in it, and you start a dream. But that's because the knowledge of existence. In deep sleep, there was no knowledge of existence. Then the knowledge of existence came, and then the consciousness then creates, and you're observing this. And sometimes you're identified with a dream character, seeing and acting and believing. Then you have the concept that you're waking up. In reality, now there's a knowingness of your own self, but you're also knowing this body, because that's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says in the morning, first you have the sense of existence, then you take on the body, and then you take on, like, it cranks it up, so to speak. Because now that I'm a body, now I'm in a world. But in reality, you never left. These are states that are appearing. The dream state has appeared, the waking state has appeared, and you are the constant on which all these layers of illusion are appearing. Whether the illusion be dream consciousness or waking consciousness. Looks like our meeting is about to end.
Try, girl.
Hey, thank you.
Mine says remaining time 10 minutes. Is that?
Yeah, but that flipped on a little while ago.
No.
It doesn't count down after the 10 minutes.
Oh.
It just says 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Poof, we're gone.
like the end of a dream.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Thought it used to give me a readout that actually I could see counting down.
I know.
Was it counting down before? Maybe I didn't notice.
No, it was. Yes, okay. It was. It used to count down all the way through, and we would know. But I think it's really trying to pressure to buy the, you know, because this is like the free thing, which is. But I think the free thing is wonderful because it gives us like 30, 40 minutes, and then boom, it's finished. When we very first started this thing, it was like 2.5, sometimes 3 hours. And
I don't remember going 3 hours, but
it was long. You can look up in the ones from 2000, whatever it was, like 17 or whatever. And they actually, though, in the beginning, we just did snippets of different things. We didn't do the whole 3 hour, whatever, or two and a half hour, whatever. Some of them were, but a lot of it was just snippets because there were some people that didn't want to be recorded in the beginning. They didn't like that at all. So. I had to edit them out.
Remember early on there was a couple really interesting people that were on and they disappeared.
We've had a lot of people coming and going. And some people still email and, check in and stuff, and it's good.
Thank you, John. Your explanations are fantastic. Really.
And Django.
And it does seem like the some seem to me that